يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما، وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما، ولا تجعل فينا ولا معنا ولا منا شقيا ولا محروما من رحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم آمين. اللهم ارزقنا علما نافعا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم آمين. Actually, I intend to show you the presentation, not for me, but you know, the repetition of Irving today was on the scale. Even they speak about the technology, imagine Irving. So, actually, I have a very beautiful presentation. I work very hard on it. I just finished it before maybe a little, Maghrib, little time before Maghrib, a little bit. But let me see. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because I want to show you different things.
If you want it, we can do it in 5 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, inshallah.
Wallahi, نقول لك من الشاكرين يا أخي.
I can do it,
inshallah. بإذن الله تعالى. Because I feel bad that to deprive you from going over what we have, the slides. You know, we have, let me see how many slides we have. I work on 22 slides. So it's not too much. For 1 hour, but to be done and to be, inshallah. Well, we are, I don't know, just wait 5 minutes, inshallah. You'll be sober for 5 minutes?
You can remind what you've done.
This will tell Muhammad. We are in the subject, actually, Usul al-Hadith. I want to make sure that we shape in our memories and our mind and our participation, inshallah. Our halaqat here, inshallah, every Tuesday, we are going through usul al-hadith, or the sciences of hadith, or the methodology of hadith. Usul fiqh, we didn't start yet. We spoke general in the first session when we started this halaqat. We gave general ideas from both sides, but we focus on usul al-hadith or mustalah al-hadith. And we went through different things. Let me just go over a little bit brief as what we discussed. And we discussed the following, that introduction to the sense of hadith. And we talk about the some terms in the Islamic law and its definitions, that the paper we gave it to you. This is a copy here. If you didn't get a copy, please ask the office. They have it. It is 1, 2, and 3, 4 pages. It's very good, brief definitions and terms and definitions to help from both sides. Usul hadith wa usul fiqh, inshallah. Also, we went over the meaning of both hadith and sunnah. Then we said there is no choice for the true believers if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then His Rasul decided such a matter, that to have a choice about it. At all, never. But to say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. Then we talk about the order of the prohibition of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. We gave the example of the 7 things. Hadith, صحيح صحيح البخاري, that أمرنا رسول الله بسبع ونهانا عن سبع. So how the order of the Prophet and how the prohibition of the Prophet. That the prohibitions mean prohibitions. There's no different opinions of fiqh about it. Well, the order that the Prophet said, إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. And I like this really attitude, that if Allah, the Prophet ordered us to do something, do as much as you can. Then we talk about the usage of the word hadith, and we mention 3 categories. The most notable usage to them to mean, number one, the Quran itself and hadith. So the word hadith being used in the Quran, and the hadith as a Quran, and as hadith, the word hadith itself. And then the word of hadith also means that history, story, as the Quran, and we gave in every point examples of, from the Quran, from the Sunnah as well. Then the third point as a general conversation. When you say hadith, it means a general conversation. Then we talk about the importance of the hadith. And we said, we mentioned that we have 4 points. Number one, tafsir. So the hadith is the tafsir al-Quran. Yufassir al-Quran. Fas-sunnah is to explain the Quran. And we mentioned that, the example of the Salah, for example. Allah ordered us in the Quran to make Salah. But we don't know how to perform Salah in the Quran. Allah ordered us to pay Zakah. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةُ. But the ansibatu zakah, the details of the share and the percentage and all this, we don't know it from the Quran. We didn't know from the Quran. So we received all of it from the authentic sunnah of the Prophet alayhi sallam. So this clear answer to those who say Quran only no sunnah. وَلَيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. What happened here?
You okay, right?
Let me see. It took back. Okay. Then we talk about revelation. The hadith also that means revelation as the Surah Al-Najm, verse 3 and 4, that it is not his own. It is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him, that to tell him, but his words and his mana, that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and refer to that. Then it means also that laws, it is qanun, refer that obedience to the, as the ayah mentioned in surah number 4, verse number 59, يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنَ أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Obey Allah and His Rasul, then أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, this one in authority. And we talk about the community board and the imam and the country as a hakim, as long as الطَّاعَةُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. This is a and the Ahlul Bayt, talk about the husband and the wife, disconnect with every aspect of life. Then we talk about hadith also means moral ideal, that the Prophet ﷺ, he's a role model, he's the best example. Don't look at the actor or the actresses or the singer or the player, or but the Prophet ﷺ, he's the best example, as well as our and his companions, his Sahaba al-Kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Then number 5 point of the importance of hadith, preservation of Islam. As Allah mentioned in the Quran that إِنَّ نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا ذِكْرِ وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. As Allah protected the Quran from any alteration, also He protected the Sunnah from any alteration by having people throughout the history of Islam, generation after generations, to have scholars of science of hadith to protect to us the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It's working now? I think that should be good. Then we came to the compilation of the hadith, how the Sahaba recorded the hadith. And we talked during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited in the beginning to write the hadith, so not the Sahaba to get mixing in between the Quran and the hadith wordings until period of time. Then he permitted the Sahaba, and then we talked about the recording during the Sahaba or the companions radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Then we talk about the seven, the best seven and the most who narrate the hadith from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Number 1, Abu Huraira radhiyallahu anhu, who narrated 5,374 hadith. And we said one of the session we mentioned that does not mean 5,374 texts, different texts. Sometimes the same hadith by different sanad. The scholars of hadith consider that to be two hadith, but came from this sanad, from narrators, line of narrators, different than line of narrators. But both of them leading to the same text of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that's mean two hadith considered from the science of hadith. To be aware of that. Then we have the second on the list of the most narrators from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that we have Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. Abdullah and his father Umar, may Allah be pleased with them both, 2630 hadith. Then Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, who served the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam from the moment that the Prophet came to Medina and arrived to Medina in Hijrah. After the Hijrah, his mother, Anas ibn Malik's mother, brought him to the Prophet to say, let him serve you, Ya Rasulullah. And he was 10 years old. So how many years the Prophet stayed in Medina? 10 years. He was 10 years old, and then he lived with the Prophet 10 years. So when the Prophet ﷺ died, Anas ibn Malik was 20 years old. And he lived over 100. ببركة دعاء النبي له عليه الصلاة والسلام بإطالة عمره ورزقه وولده. He got a lot of children. He lived more than 100 years. And then Allah gave him a lot. From nothing to everything. Subhanallah. But he was among the latest and the late Sahaba who died, the few who died later on. So he narrated a lot. And this 2286. You can see 10 years Anas ibn Malik, 10 years Anas ibn Malik served the Prophet, and Abu Hurairah on the year of 7 of Hijrah, he embraced Islam. So didn't live too long, but he narrated the most. And that's what the enemies of Islam, they don't like Abu Hurairah. They want to attack Abu Hurairah day and night. His way of narration and his methodology and his philosophy and a lot of things. Because if they get successful, they destroy many of our religion points and references. Then we have number 4, Aisha bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anhuma. She was a teacher to the Sahaba after the death of the Prophet alayhi salam, and she was the teacher to the Sahabiyat women during the time of the Prophet alayhi salam. So this is another issue for the sister that to be aware of, this role model example, and to follow her pattern, that she was a doctor, she was a poet, she was a philosopher, and she was muhaditha an Rasulullah, because she was the wife, the most beloved wife after Khadija radhiallahu anhunna jami'a to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as her father is the most beloved man to the Prophet as well too. Subhanallah. She narrated 2,210 hadith, because also, I mean, sometimes we have to make aware of, I want to, why we say these things? Because, like Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, for example, just an example, that not every Sahabi, he have all the hadith of the Prophet. Because the Prophet alayhi sallam, sometimes he spoke to individual, sometimes he spoke to two people, sometimes he spoke to a family, sometimes he spoke to a group of people, but they're not in the masjid. Sometimes he addressed the community at large. Sometimes he talked on the Friday. Sometimes incidents happen in the war, and wherever he is. So this being narrated to each other. So this Sahabi, and that's what we know from the history of recording the hadith and the sunnah itself in general, that for example, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became Khalifa. Something happened to him as a leader of the community, faithful community, that to say anybody heard anything from the Prophet about this issue. Do you have anybody here that heard from the Prophet any statement alayhi salam that he said it regarding this issue? I don't know it, I don't have it. Some of you say, yes, I heard, give me support. Somebody else support this or not? Yes, another one heard it too, take it. This is how it used to be. Subhanallah. Ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, anhuma, Al-Abbas wa ibn Abbas, 1660 hadith. Then we have Jabir ibn Abdullah, 1540 hadith. Then Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. Then we talk about other forms from the Sahaba, like we have 8 names mentioned here, maybe or 9, that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, very well known. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Katib al-Wahid al-Rasulullah, who wrote the Wahid to the Prophet alayhi salam, and the best Qari of the Quran. Man ahabba an yasma al-Quran ghaddan tariyan falyaqra qira'at ibn Umm Abd. If you want to feel the Quran just fresh, came down now, listen to the recitation of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Subhanallah. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, 700 hadith. Umar ibn Khattab, 537 hadith. By the way, you can see Abu Bakr is not here. Because we mentioned one of the sessions, last session or before, that he burned all the collections that he wrote down out of fear that maybe the Prophet didn't say this or that hadith. Does not mean that he was Sahab Rasulullah before the Hijrah, before he became Prophet, and after that, and Sahab al-Hijrah with him, and then living in the Medina 10 years and became Khalifa, and to narrate very few. There is something, when you put in logic, there is something missing here. No. But out of his fear, his taqwa, that to say the Prophet said, maybe the Prophet didn't say it. So he burned all what he recorded. That's subhanAllah, Qaddar al-Mawla, that not to have it. Then Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And that's what we have when it comes to the issue of Shia and Sunnah, very sensitive issue, that we see the scholars of science of Hadith, they are very careful because many things being referred to Ali ibn Abi Talib, well, he is innocent of that. So the science of Hadith, they put it on a lab, like doctors, they have lab for blood test and other things, and surgeon. The same thing with the Hadith here, we have a lab. When you go to study theology in the Islamic institutions, they take you, give you a lab to help tahrij al-Hadith. If they say, this Hadith, I want to know if this Hadith is sahih or not, can you help me, brother? Ya Shaykh, a student of knowledge, can you help that? Yes. We take the Hadith and we put it on the table, then we look at the sanad, and then look at the khraj and the matin, and we will come to talk next time, inshallah. This next halaqah will be our session to talk about details, inshallah. But it will be good to know these things. Other than the other names, seven people, we have this Sahaba who narrated such number of, you know, ahadith from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Then we have Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, 270 hadith. Then Abu Darda. Abu Darda is a nickname. But what's his name? Awaymir ibn Zayd. But everybody knows Abu Darda, Abu Darda, Abu Darda. But what's his real name? Like Abu Huraira, Abu Huraira, Abu Huraira. What Abu Huraira name? Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. What is real name? Real name. Even the Sahaba, many Sahaba, they didn't know his real name. Because the Prophet also gave him the nickname of Abu Huraira, Ya Abu Hir. That's when sometimes somebody, his name can be cut half, as the Prophet did it. Ya Aish. When he called Aisha, he would call her Ya Aish. Abu Huraira, Ya Abu Hir. Very, very, very common. Very well known. So here, Abu Darda, Abu Darda, his name, Umaymir ibn Zayd, he narrated 179 hadith. Then Al-Bara ibn Azib. Al-Bara ibn Azib, one of the great Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, who narrated one of the hadith, very famous hadith, hadith Adab al-Qabr. Adab, hadith Khuruj al-Ruh. When the two angels will come down at the time of Ihtidar, hadith al-Bara ibn Azib, very well known. He narrated 305 hadith, inshallah. Then we come to the next generation, at-Tabi'un. Sahaba who lived with the Prophet time, who saw the Prophet and communicated with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. At-Tabi'un, who didn't see the Prophet, but they saw the Sahaba. They lived with them of the Sahaba of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the second generation now. It's called at-Tabi'un. We have Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib ibn Hazm, who died in 94 after Hijrah, al-Qurashi, al-Khazraji, al-Makhzumi. You can see here. Then we have Nafi' ibn Hurmuz, very well known. He learned it from Ibn Umar. He was a student of Ibn Umar. He narrated 117 hadith. So we can see, when if you go deeply in the science of hadith, we're not going to touch that. But when you go in deep in details, that you can see, like Abdullah ibn Abbas. Every Sahabi have a student. Not only one, students. And these students, who are the tabi'een? To say. It depends how old is in Islam. Like some other Sahaba, they learn from each other. You see? Like we have, to say, Umar al-Khattab, he heard hadith from Abi Bakr. He heard hadith from, for example, that Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Even Mu'adh ibn Jabal is young in age. But this is how the way sometimes, but mostly they are tabi'een students, like this. Ibn Abbas, in tafsir, his student, the number one, Mujahid. That's why I didn't know why my father called me Mujahid. In Lebanon, very rare to find somebody his name Mujahid. Ifrat, this means Sami, and Fuad, this means very secular, you can see, that because Christian and Muslim countries divided almost 50-50, to say. So to see Mujahid is this old-fashioned style name, it's not here. It's coming from someone else. So until I came to know, when you go to the masjid, grow up a little bit, and then you listen to halaqat in the masjid, then you say, wa'an Mujahid. Oh, when the tafsir Ibn Kathir mentioned, oh, an Ibn Tirmiz Ibn Abbas. So this kind of tabi'een who narrated to us, generation after generation, the point is to give you the authenticity of recording the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salam. So it didn't come just from nowhere. It was given from the mouth of the Prophet alayhi salam to the Sahaba al-Kiram. Then the Sahaba, they gave it to their students. These are the names we have. It's called Tabi'een. Muhammad ibn Sirin, who died in 110 after Hijrah. For example, the one who is the best mufassir of the dreams. Ta'tir al-Anam fi tafsir al-Manam. Ibn Sirin. This is the best tafsir of dreams, because based on Quran and authentic Sunnah. He will give you the explanation of the dreams, whatever dream you have. He wrote a book called Ta'tir al-Anam fi tafsir al-Manam. I saw it in the library here, available. Then we have Sa'id ibn Jubayr al-Kufi, who was killed by al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi, the governor of Iraq. And then we have Imam al-Hanifa, rahimahullah wa radiyallahu anhu. This is very surprising to many brothers and sisters. I didn't know why. Because he met different Sahabi. Just to meet a Sahabi of Rasulullah, you are Tabi'i. But I want to know, one time I challenged the community in Fort Worth on Sunday we have. I said, okay, I'm going to follow Abu Hanifa. I'm not going to sacrifice my madhab. Okay. Tell me the real name of Abu Hanifa. I asked them that. None of the audience were sitting, and the hall was full. I said, give me the real name of Imam Abu Hanifa. Abu Hanifa is a nickname. It's not a real name. And nobody gave me. I said, if you don't know the name of your madhab leader, you have no authority to speak on behalf of him. You have no authority to say what you said before. I mean, this is jahiliyyah absolutely now. I challenge you with the name of the leader. If I say, I follow madhab al-Hanbali. Okay, what's the name of the leader of madhab al-Hanbali? I don't know. If you don't know, don't talk to me anymore about that you know and you have knowledge of his madhab. You have nothing. I don't know, I'm from madhab al-Shafi'i. Okay, what Imam Shafi'i name? What his fiqh books? If you remember the first halaqah, we went over some names of the fiqh books that this leader, they wrote down. Because you have to earn the knowledge to say, I'm allowed to speak on behalf of the madhab. Otherwise, to know that methodology, how he made his ijtihad, based on what? His mechanism and his students and all. You have to be aware of this as a student of knowledge, to speak about knowledge. But just to speak because asabiyya, jahiliyya, chauvinism, I belong from this country and that's why we follow this madhab, I'm not going to sacrifice it. No. The attitude of the Muslim, the real true believer, he will follow the madhab as long as there is no knowledge opposite to that. But any time, any mas'ala, any issue that we'll study in the usul al-fiqh, inshallah, any mas'ala that ثبتت لدي بخلاف المذهب الذي أذهب إليه يجب علي أن أتبع السنة. If I'm doing something because the culture and the package we have came with us from back home, then I have somebody draw my attention, young or old, man or woman, doesn't matter. Doesn't have to be alim. Somebody maybe young will tell you, brother, I saw you doing this. I heard one time the sheikh in the halaqa saying, not this way, the other way. Don't tell me, you are young, you don't understand, I know better than you. Take the knowledge from everybody. Just take it. Appreciate it. Receive it. Then think about it and reflect upon it and study it. If it's true, you have to follow it. You have no choice anymore. As we said before, we are ordered to obey the Prophet, not the madhab. Abu Hanifa will be innocent of us, Imam Shafi'i will be innocent of us, and Imam Ahmad Muhammad will be innocent of us, and Imam Malik will be innocent of us on the day of judgment and the court of Allah to say, I didn't tell you, if you have the proof from the Sunnah, to ignore the Sunnah to follow me. You should follow the Sunnah, the Prophet, not me. And that's when the Surah Al-Furqan mentioned, وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. The oppressor, to himself first, then the other, maybe to say, that bite on his hand. When somebody, you see him doing this action, like what? What do you think? What do you assume? He's regretting something. I wish I followed the Prophet. وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يَكُونَ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. يَا وَيْلَتَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخَذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. I wish that I followed the Prophet's path, and I wish that I didn't take that person as a path for me to follow. It would take me away from. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنَا عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. He took me away from the dhikr, from the truth, after I received the truth. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ وَشَيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَذُولًا. خذونا. I mean, the shaitan will not bring you to success at all, but bring to failing. So Imam Hanifa, he met different names of Sahaba, and that's what really we say also that tabi'i. Then we have the famous records of hadith, or suhuf. Suhuf, and we have Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, as we call it, as-sahifa as-sadiqa. Then we have Samurah ibn Jundub, sahifa Samurah ibn Jundub. Then we have sahifa Ali ibn Abi Talib, as-sahifa as-sadiqa. Allahumma salli Muhammad. Where is the year? No, this is different. Different. This is different, yes. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. There is a repetition here. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Now. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. صحيفة القضايا. القضايا. There is printing here. You have in the paper that we gave it to you. Mentioned. Then we have Jabir ibn Abdullah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. That later on it was related by التابعي قتادة ابن دعامة السدوسي. Then we have Abdullah ibn Abbas. Then we have صحيفة همام. Very famous one, Hammam, the one who is a student of Imam of Abu Huraira, but because he put a lot of things in a way effective, so the people he became famous more than Abu Huraira, so they referred to him. Well, it is the Sahifa of Abu Huraira given to him. Then we come to the four stages of writing. Stage number one, that the companion stage, that's called Sahifa stage. The Suhuf, different as you mentioned before a little bit. Then we have the stage of Musannaf. Then we have the stage of Musnad. Then we have the stage of Sahih. Bukhari and Muslim, we talk about. First stage, for example, covers the period of the first century after Hijrah, which began in July 622 Christian calendar, or the early part of the century Christian calendar. It was the stage of companions, Suhuf. A sheet, to write a sheet, or some sort of writing material such as shoulder blades and parchments or paper type, on which a number of hadith were written, even their own palm hand, that to write it then recorded on their own papers later on, and Sahifat Abu Bakr, or As-Sahifa Sadiqa of Ibn Amr. Then we have the aim of the first stage was mainly recording the hadith without any particular format. There was no specific format to record. Then the second stage, covered the middle of the second century after Hijrah, is referred to as a stage of Musannaf. For example, classified, organized work. Now become more and better organized in this stage. The second stage represents a planned compilation of hadith groups under headings denoting their subject matter. For example, Muwatta al-Imam Malik. Very well organized. Then stage number three, that known as the stage of Musnad, compilation of hadith according to the companions' names. That's Ilm al-Rijal. Ilm al-Rijal. When you come to the Sanad and you want to know the hadith sahih or not, you go over the Ilm al-Rijal, the chain of translation or narrators. Then this stage began at the close of second century, for example, Musnad al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, very well known. Stage number four and the last is known as the stage of Sahih. This stage began during the first half of the third century after Hijrah, 9th century Christian calendar, and overlaps the period of the Musnad. Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah, and Sahih Ibn Hibban as well too. Sahih Ibn Hibban. Then we have different types of transmission of hadith, or tahammul al-hadith, suwar al-tahammul, the pictures and the types of tahammul. We have as-sama', the hearing, reading by teacher. Number two, al-ard, and tarad, to demonstrate, reading by the students. Then we have ijaza, permission to transit. Then number four, munawala, that to give the permission. And that's what the granting books, that the teacher will come to that in detail, will give the books. Then number one and number five, we have kitaba, that correspondence. And then we have number six, i'lam, announcement. Then we have like one of the meaning of adhan, al-i'lan. Al-adhan, any adhan, literally means i'lan. Islamically, i'lamun nas bidukhuli waqti salati muhaddada. To tell the people, to announce to the people that the time of a specific salat has entered. Number 7, al-wasiyya, that bequest of books. Then number 8, we have al-wajada, or discovery of the books, and then so on. In discussion, for example, of these points, during the era of hadith compilation in the first 3 centuries, a variety of methods of learning and teaching evolved. These methods were later categorized and technical terminology developed to describe them within the field of hadith science. The first 2 were the most common and accurate and the most being used by the science of scholars of hadith. As-sama', number 1. That reading by the teacher has 4 different formats. To read by the teacher, what does it mean? We have 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, recitation from memory by the teacher. Number 2, reading from the books. And this written by his books or somebody else's books. Number, we have question and answers that students would read to their teacher a part of the hadith and he would complete the narration. They called it question answer, not it's mean to ask question to answer, no. This is like a give and take. Then we have number 4, that dictation, that companion Wathila ibn al-Asqa' who died in 83 after Hijrah, that was the first to hold classes for dictation of hadith. Some scholars, they were hesitating about this because easy to see and find. So even it's called even those considered the one who write the fast, he will write down and somebody else will watch him looking for his mistakes. If he make mistake, that will correct him. Subhanallah. You can see how much the accuracy and the insistence of doing the recording of the hadith, how much took time and how much authentic resource that and protection being given to the recording. Then we have arb. This is a second. So number 1 is what? As-sama', to hear. Reading the, by the teacher. Now here we have ard, that reading by the students. In this method, the students would read to, the teacher's book to him. That's what Imam Shafi'i, for example. How Imam Shafi'i became a student of Imam Malik? He had to go to ask, as we call it in Arabic, al-wasata. In al-wasata, to go to the governor or the Amir of Mecca, to go to, with him to Medina, to intercede. يَشْفَعْ لَهُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. Just to appeal to Imam Malik to accept the young boy, Imam Shafi'i, that to be his student. Not everybody can be a student of Imam Malik. سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. So Amir al-Makkah, he had to go with Imam Shafi'i to Medina. Imam Malik was Imam Masjid al-Medina, Masjid al-Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And then what Imam Shafi'i did? To prove his quality as a student, حفظ الموطا للإمام مالك. He memorized موطا الإمام مالك. And he recited the موطا to Imam Malik in front of him to accept him. As a first step of acceptance application given by Imam Shafi'i in front of the Imam Malik. Then he became, Imam Shafi'i became a student of Imam Malik 8 years. Imam Malik spending on him, taking care of him, 8 years. Then Imam Ahmad Muhammad became a student of Imam al-Shafi'i. We'll come to that, inshallah, when we come to the biographies. Then we have Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. This is one of the things I wanted to be aware of, how much sensitive. Even if a student knew hadith through books, he was not entitled to transmit them or use them in his own collections until they had been read back to the teacher and approved. If he did otherwise, he didn't listen and follow his own ego, he was labeled as hadith thief, or sarikul hadith. Can you imagine this? What kind of sarika is this? What kind of thief is this? Like we call it, this equivalent to modern copyright laws today. When you have a book, you're not going to go to the office depot, they will not copy it for you like this. If there is some copyright prohibited. And this is a right, it's mean you have to have written permission from the author, from the publisher. This is the same thing, but different terminology. So the copier will tell you, I'm sorry, I cannot copy for you from this book. You have to get me permission, written permission from the author. We Arab, you know, things, Muslim, you're maybe not aware of it that way. What's wrong here? Just copy it for me, that's it. No, we cannot do that. They have copyright. The same thing here, hadith, sarikul hadith here. You cannot write it in your own collection until you read it to the teacher and the teacher approve it. If you do it behind the back of the teacher and your own in your home, we'll recognize that. And will be recognized by the scholars of the hadith, and then you'll be considered and labeled sarik al-hadith, your shahada will be dropped. You'll be no more narrator of the hadith Rasulullah. Can you imagine how much sensitive? Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he hired somebody. And one day Umar ibn Khattab was kissing the child. Then he said, you kiss the child? This happened with the Prophet time, but this happened with Umar radiallahu anhu too. He said, I don't kiss my children. He said, you are fired. He was appointed by Umar to rule over period area of Muslims. But because he doesn't show the mercy to his own children to hug them and kiss them, he said, you are fired. He did nothing wrong legally, but morally he did it. And he was fired because of that. Can you imagine the sensitivity of that and the quality of that generation? Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Allahumma ajma'na bihim ya Rabbil Alameen. And next, now we come to the next class, inshallah. It will be our next Tuesday, March 31st. We'll continue in the next 6 out of 8 forms of methods of hadith, inshallah. And then we, as we covered today, the most important 2 of these 8 points, as-sama' wal-ard. We have another 6. We'll continue next time, inshallah. And then we'll see you, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, healthy, happy, and also, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, alive. And don't forget, in your prayer, that to make dua for each other, inshallah. We are brothers for Islam. We meet for the sake of Allah. We disperse for the sake of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us our efforts and reward us with the best on and bless ourselves, our children, our families, our business, our health, our wealth, and whoever you have in your mind. Allahumma ameen. Wa jazakum la khaira. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruk wa atubu ilaik. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm very thankful to the brothers who made the arrangement that to show. I hope that you enjoy that in short time. Alhamdulillah. I hope that I perform today according to the promise. We promised you 1 hour. That inshallah. Jazakum la khair. It's not the issue of how much really, but how much we accepted and how much we understood will be the best. Bidhinallah ta'ala. This presentation, inshallah, as is, will be available, inshallah, on the on my blog. It will be okay. Imam, inshallah, Imam Mujahid.
wordpress.com.
Okay, you got that, isn't it? Understood that? I didn't understand the last one, but this will be available, inshallah, and the next will be also presentation. From now, inshallah, we'll prepare ourselves, inshallah, as we did today, to do present, because I want this to be recorded so everybody can benefit from it. And because some sister, they're calling me and they said, we cannot come at this time that you are doing the halakha and the Masjid Irving. They are from Richardson and from Denton. I said, so alhamdulillah, we'll be available on the website, will be available, inshallah, for everybody. Jazakum khair, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you didn't get the paper of the terms and definitions, please ask the administration to give you the copy of 4 pages we have. Wassalamu alaikum.